Chapter 2. Everything was completely different, yet just the same. Paradise was as it had always been in the fall. The trees exploding with color, the wind blowing in off the Atlantic, biting with sharper teeth. Jesse Stone wasn't a man given to deep philosophical thought. He knew up from down which base to cover when throws came in from the outfield, and, most important, right from wrong. His sense of right and wrong was like his North Star, guiding him through the wilderness of a world that had lost its way. Yet as he looked at the windblown swirl of reds, yellows, browns, and greens on the trees outside his new condo that morning, he could not help but think it strange that the beauty of the leaves was an expression of their deaths. As far as he could tell, there was only inevitability in human death, and not much beauty in it. There was certainly no beauty in murder, the kind of death he was most familiar with. He didn't waste any more time contemplating the leaves, or why the familiar now seemed strange. There was the fact that his house had been sold that summer, and that he'd moved into a two-bedroom condo in a development at the edge of the swamp. That wasn't it. He had moved many times in his life without it shaking his foundation. Nor was it that today would be his first day back on the job after 2 months away. He had to admit that it had taken some getting used to, being away from paradise. Jesse hadn't taken any real time off since he'd been forced to walk away from baseball and joined the LAPD. That was strange, too, because it felt like it had happened both only yesterday and a million years ago. He knew exactly what it was that was causing him to see the world with new eyes. And he knew he was going to have to spend every day for the rest of his life getting used to it. Patricia Cooper at the donut shop raised her right eyebrow at the sight of Jesse standing before her. For an old Yankee like Patricia, a raised eyebrow was tantamount to a fainting spell.
"Geez, Jesse, been a long time. Got so we were worried Molly would be warming your seat on a permanent basis."
She would never let that happen. One corner of Patricia's mouth turned up.
"No, I suppose not. An assorted dozen for you?"
"Better make that 2 dozen and a large cup of coffee. We've got that machine in the station now, but I've thought about the taste of your coffee every day since I've been gone." The other corner of her mouth turned up. Molly was seated at the front desk, not in Jesse's office as he'd expected. They'd spoken a few times since he'd returned, but like everything else since he'd come home, their conversations had been just a bit different. The usual rhythm of their banter seemed out of joint. He'd supposed that was a function of Molly's anger at him, for sticking her in a job she never wanted, and for staying away a few weeks longer than he'd planned to be gone. Before he could open his mouth, Molly said,
"Don't you ever do that to me again, Jesse Stone. God knows why I love you in the first place, but it won't last 2 more months of me sitting in that office."
She pointed over her shoulder at the door with "Chief" printed in black letters on the pebbled glass. He placed the donuts in front of her.
"Cross my heart, Crane."
"Put them in the break room yourself. Until you walk into that office back there, I'm still acting chief."
"Seems to me you're pretty comfortable with giving orders."
"Seems to me I hated every minute of it."
"How about the extra pay?"
When Molly smiled up at him, he knew things would be all right. Just as his sense of right and wrong had been his internal guide, Molly had long since become the person by whom he could set his watch. Jesse took 2 donuts out of the box and left the rest right where they were. "I'm going into my office now, Crane. You can make an executive decision about what to do with the donuts." He turned and walked away.
"Jesse," she called after him.
"What is it, Molly?"
"It's good to have you back."
"Good to be back. In 10 minutes, come in and we'll talk over personnel and what's been going on while I've been gone."
The office was much as he had left it, if neater and a tad less dusty. But the essentials were in place, his worn glove and ball on his desk, the flags in the corner, the photos of the past chiefs on the wall, the slats of the old blinds open on the yacht club in Stiles Island. He sat behind his desk,
his eyes immediately turning to the lower right-hand drawer, the drawer in which he had kept a bottle of Johnny Walker Black Label since he first arrived in Paradise. There was no bottle in there now. He was determined that there would never be one there again. He wasn't just playing at not drinking anymore, or, as Dix phrased it, holding his breath to prove to the world he didn't need to drink. He'd been to rehab, finally, and had been sober for a few weeks. But he had been warned that the struggles might not begin in earnest until he got back to his familiar surroundings. Seeing the empty space where the bottle used to reside, smelling the scotch that wasn't there, he felt a phantom twinge, as if from a limb that had recently been removed.